just fashionable, it isn't always true. Right. Neil Megson was born in London, or in England, in 1950, and he was his father was a drummer, and his mother had been a chorus girl, and he was a teenager during the hippie days, and he saw something different in the world. He changed his name by deed poll in 1968 to Genesis Peorage. There were so many people during those hippie days who called themselves other names. Jerry Garcia was famously, you know, Captain Trips, and his girlfriend was Mountain Girl, and names were everywhere, but very few people changed their names. Neil became Genesis and created his own identity. And he met Cozy in 1969, and they were a couple for many years, and they created a performance art, that was a name that actually came up later. They became an action art ensemble called Coombe Transmissions. Coombe Transmissions performed amazing, astonishing events in England and in Europe and even in the United States through the 70s. There's a wonderful book by Simon Ford called Wreckers of Civilization, the story of Coombe Transmissions and Throbbing Gristle, that I highly recommend if you want to know the story. What you're hearing underneath here is very rare. This is a tape that was a hand-copied tape that was handed out to friends in 1975, and it was called The Best of Throbbing Gristle. According to the book here, there were only 10 copies made. Obviously, somebody kept the master, because I've been able to get a copy of it. Industrial sounds with some rhythmic sounds when Chris Carter joined the band. So it was Genesis, Cozy, their friend Peter, a.k.a. Sleazy Christopherson, and Christopher Carter. These four people became Throbbing Gristle. This, what you're hearing now, is early stuff as they were working their way around. Throbbing Gristle, as a name, means erect penis. Throbbing Gristle. In my opinion, they're the second most important British band after the Beatles, because what they did has had a profound influence on the history of music, yet they were virtually unknown in their day. When they reached a point where they were about to break over into popularity, they disbanded. Their last two performances one was in Los Angeles and one was in San Francisco. Those were the final mission of Throbbing Gristle. So in honor of the Carter Tutti performance that I saw last night, I want to devote the show tonight to Throbbing Gristle. I'm not going to say very much. I'm going to let the sound do the talking. I just will say that this is very dark, very adult, and very different. These are the Throbbing Gristle were actually the the grandparents of noise. They essentially created noise music. And so a lot of noise coming up. So relax yourself. Get comfortable. Smoke them if you got them. And welcome. This is Kill Radio. Welcome to the Chill Room. Thank you.
just an ordinary day in Manchester. Ian Brady and Myra Hindley drinking German wine. Their mother had gone to bed upstairs. She slept very well. They used to give her 3 Seconal every night with her cocoa. And Ian Brady put on his best clothes and his blue suede shoes, and he decided to go out with Myra Hindley, as it was 6 months and one of those special days. So Myra Hindley put on a dark wig and drove Ian Brady to the mainline station. And while she stayed in the car, Ian Brady went cruising on the platform. Same night, Edward Evans was also getting dressed in his best. And his mother, who didn't know that he was a little bit inclined to the young men, wished him well as he slicked his hair and put on his winkle pickers. And he went down to the mainline station. He waited for about an hour, and he was beginning to think there wasn't going to be any trade that night. And then somebody came towards him wearing blue suede shoes, and it was Ian Brady. And he introduced himself. He said, "Hi, my name's Ian. I saw you down at the Viking last week." "Why don't you come back to my place and we can drink some German wine? I've got a car around the corner. My sister's there. She'll drive us back. It's only in Hyde. It's not too far. If it gets late, you can always stay the night." Ian Brady and Myra Hindley, very friendly. Ian Brady and Myra Hindley, very friendly.
Oh, what did they do that was so influential? Well, I could list a lot of things, but I think the one that's my favorite is that Chris Carter invented the sequencer. So when you get on a keyboard and you push buttons and things repeat again and again and again and again and again, which is the basis to most all electronica and dance music. It's all due to Chris Carter. Chris, by the way, was the Paul McCartney, handsome member of the group. Genesis was the John Lennon, and Sleazy was the George Harrison, mysterious one. And Cozy, of course, was Ringo Starr. This is the Chill Room on Kill Radio. And this is music for a dream machine.
play their game. Say them, you can say their name, but you won't have a bit of people. There's several ways to convince people. Now you're people, and we're people. We've got to be to convince people. It's the name of the game.
himself, as they always say.
Challenge. You and I,
Love is the law. Love is the law. Love is the law. Love is the law. United. 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 You and I. You and I. Chopping and the axe was going into the back of his neck, and there was blood squirting over the Church of England prayer book. And a few drops landed on the TV screen and ran down Eamon Andrews' cheek, and some bits of bone and white brain landed on the hearth just near the brass brush that they used to sweep the chimney. And there was lino on the floor, which was lucky. And it took quite a few hits before Edward Evans gargled Ian Brady, asked David Smith for some rope, which he had on a stick he used to play with his dog, and they put it round Edward Evans' neck and they pulled it tight till he strangled, and he made a strange noise. And then he died. And he was just a lump of stuff. Just a bit more information! Ian Brady! And my wife, Kathy Lou! Very, very friendly! Ian Brady! David Smith pulled up the helping wrap of the body in polythene and take it upstairs. He made excuses and left, very frightened, very friendly. And he went home to his wife, boring homo. And he told her what had happened, and they agreed that they just had to tell the police. But they were very frightened, so they stayed awake all night, holding one of the knives from the kitchen and hoping that Ian Brady wouldn't come around and say anything else. And then eventually it was morning, and they went out of the house at about 8 o'clock, outside. Into the street, they didn't know who were going to meet. It was Mrs. Bradley walking her dog, a little white poodle, and Mrs. Martin going to Lloyd's Bank to clean the waste paper basket. And they went quickly up the road until they got to the red telephone box. And when they got to the telephone box, David Smith gave Momo the knife and said, "You wait behind here while I ring them." And then he went inside the phone box and he dialed 9 9 9. Nine.